destinations, whether it's a letter from Forest Lawn or a bridge that connects us to something on the other side. Where are we going? Hey, this is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and just about everything else in between. We're finishing up the 9th year of our podcast, and this is episode number 471 of The Next Step, and I invite you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 9th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Science without religion is lame. You'd expect somebody to say that right in the church field. Guess who said that? Albert Einstein. Science without religion is lame, but he continues to say religion without science is blind. How about that? Isn't that nice? You like it? I really like it. Great way to start off today's show. It's the last show of the 9th year of The Next Step. Can you believe it? We're going to be starting our 10th year of podcasting next Thursday. Unbelievable. I mean, it is unbelievable for me because when we first started this, when we first took the first step, I never imagined we'd be here 10 years later. I didn't think that anybody would care about it, but here we are 10 years later, and actually 9 years. You know, it's one of those weird things. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into this. They do this in Armenia all the time. Are you 10 years old? Or are you into your 10th year? Are you 9 years old or into your 10th year? Anyway, we finished. How about this? Our first podcast was on June 18th, 2008. Okay? You figure it out. Yes. June 18th, 2007 will be our 9th anniversary, and we will be starting our 10th year. Okay? Actually, there's a reason why I'm going through all these pains of these meticulous details. Like, you're going to say, who cares? Exactly. Who cares? Well, we do. It's a kind of like one of those moments you hit. And you say, well, you know, it's like any birthday, right? Like, well, who cares except the kid and the parents and those immediate family that are all around? Well, same way. And you're my immediate family on the other side of this microphone. But there's another reason why I'm talking about all this or presenting it in such a way. It's to maybe accent some of the minutiae that comes into play during church life. And so today we're going to be looking at not minutiae, but really what is the essence of what that church life should be? What is important in the church? Actually, we're going to be going in some ways that may be disturbing to people. Maybe some people, it's going to hit your comfort level. Let's say it that way. So we've got a good show for you today, but next week we will kick off our 10th year of podcasting with an interview, a very special interview with Susie Shatarevyan. Yes, the producer of The Next Step. How about that? Yeah, we'll let her keep her headphones on, but she will be sitting across from me on the microphone. And we'll be doing an interview talking about those early days of podcasting, where we are today. So you won't want to miss that, and you'll want to tune in for some exciting announcements as well. I think you're going to enjoy that one. So, how about this statement that I made? Science without religion is lame. A religion without science is blind. Albert Einstein. Isn't that a good way to start off today's podcast? Because so many times we try to set up these systems where one won't work with the other. And it's always interested me why there has to be even a debate between science and religion. They're two completely different disciplines, right? Is that the right word? They're two different disciplines. And certainly science tests physical physical attributes of the work world. And certainly religion can be seen to test the emotional, the spiritual attributes that we find in this world. And yes, there are certain people in the science field that want to say that, yes, those spiritual things do not matter. And I imagine that there is enough people in the science world, in the religion world, and surely we've heard it, that are eager to tell us, too, that, you know, those science things don't matter. Actually, they do. So once again, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Albert Einstein, a place to start today. We're going to be talking about how we sometimes exclude things at the cost of really excluding the entire story. This morning, I was ready to start off this podcast in a different way, but we got some other information that came over to me. Let me start with this. We've got a really, really nice email from a listener up in Ottawa, Canada. Denny, thank you for this beautiful note. Ottawa, I like the way it looks really nice. The word itself, I'm kind of like looking at that Ottawa. Did I say that right? Ottawa. I guess Canadians might say it with an accent. Anyway, I want to just be honest with you. I know I'm going to hurt you. He or she, I'm going to say. I don't know what Denny is. I know. It's my ignorance. I kind of even cheated. I looked it up. So thank you for listening. And I don't mean to be insulting, but Denny. I won't put a gender on it, okay? Denny has asked the question, why didn't we bring up the issue of the National Ecclesiastical Meeting that was taking place, he writes, in Yerevan? I believe it was in Etchmiadzin, and it was might have been at Yerevan. But I do believe it was in Etchmiadzin proper. The National Ecclesiastical Meeting, and it's a good question, and a quick answer to why I didn't bring it up last week. I think by excluding it kind of tells you where I stand with it. But it's a very fair enough question, especially, and Denny alludes to the podcast about Pentecost, saying that it was a perfect opportunity to talk about it because of the structure of the church. So thank you very much, Denny. I really appreciate the observation. Let me go in this direction, okay? Yes, on that Pentecost podcast, we did talk about the structure of the church, that Christianity is delivered to us by a method, by a means, that Jesus delivered it vis-a-vis the church, his body. And that church is a sacred, holy, one institution, which we proclaim in the Nicene Creed. You know, we believe in one holy, universal church. The word Catholic, I use the word universal only because Catholic conjures up images of the Roman Catholic Church. And in the sense that this is used, it's about the universal church, which Catholic means. In fact, our word Catholicos comes from that same word. So we're talking about the universal church. We're talking about one church, the body of Christ. And what happens many times, and really a premise for this show, is that we forget the ends for which the means have been provided. The end is to get someplace. And so along the way, we polish it up. And the best example I could give for this is the example of the bridge. Imagine this beautiful, beautiful bridge connecting us to the kingdom of God. Okay? Connecting humanity to the kingdom of God. That's what the Armenian Church is. That's what it's been set up as. The first Christian nation, right? The Armenian Orthodox Apostolic Church is this beautiful bridge. You get on one side, you end up somewhere else. A lot of times what happens is the bridge is so beautiful, you're on that bridge, you start looking around, and you say, hey, this is really cool. It's really, really beautiful. I like all the things about it. And you sit on the bridge rather than understand that it is a means to get you someplace. In other words, it has a purpose. And sometimes we lose sight of that purpose. There was a reason why I held back on talking about the ecclesiastical meeting. I was hoping that we would get something out of it and we could report about it. But like so many other meetings, it's basically to look up at the bridge and say, it is really beautiful. Yes, we know it's beautiful. But we also have to know that it has a purpose. And so maybe when I exclude it, it's because we're doing the same thing. And certainly this keeps coming up over and over again. Just this morning, a dear friend notified me about some work that was being done on the internet, some blogs going back and forth about observations about women not being in the church. And I couldn't help but remember, and again, just like the podcasting, we were way ahead of the game. This is back in 1995, when we had done 5 years. And I think this is one of my amazements with why we're continuing the next step into the 10th year, you know? Because we were doing a project called Window View of the Armenian Church, and we had set a time limit on it. It was a unique, in many ways, it was a unique experiment in many ways. Unique also because it was a publication with a time limit. It wasn't supposed to be a project that went on forever. It had a time limit. It was supposed to be for 5 years, and we delivered 5 years. And I went back to the last editorial that I had written in that publication, and there was just this one little statement that hit me, and it hit me even harder this morning when I went and looked it up. In reference to women in the Armenian church, we always hear that there's these buzz problems of the Armenian church, you know? Why aren't there women in the Armenian church? What about church unity? What about the Armenian language and its spoken language and its celebrated language and so on and so on? And this is a direct quote. This is something that I wrote back in 1995. Church unity, women in the church, use of languages other than Armenian in the church are all secondary issues. They continually surface in the Armenian press as a convenient diversion of our attention from the primary issue. So what is that primary issue? Well, Father Voskin continued there. He says, if Christ were at the center of the church, church unity would take place tomorrow. There would not be enough power on earth to keep women out of the church. And the liturgy would transcend language. These and other issues cannot be seriously addressed unless Christ's centrality in the life of the church is taken seriously. And that's really what this podcast is about. It's about to draw our attention to what really is the focus. That bridge, it's a beautiful bridge. Can you see where it's going? It's beautiful. Yes, I love it. Probably no bigger advocate than me that will stand up and talk about the beauty of the Armenian church, its liturgies, its doctrine, its theology. But when we put the human element into it, which is a necessary element, I'm not pretending that this is some kind of abstract pie in the sky kind of thing, but the human element brings in with it other issues, namely egos, right? And somehow those egos fill up the room so quickly that Christ can't find a place in that room. And that's what we've got to watch out for. That's what we have to watch out for. And that's why sometimes when we get a little silly on this show, it's also because we need to include that element of silliness to remind us that, hey, we're people. You know, we're people. We can laugh. We can get by with it. This morning, I've been cleaning up my mom's garage. She is transitioning different stage in life and moving her around. We've been cleaning up. And I found this interesting book. Where is the Armenian Apostolic Church heading? Can you believe that? And there's a guy in here who's actually talking about the decor. Actually, I'm going to hold off on this. This is a whole different issue. But it was just amusing to me with what triviality people get excited, where they find their kicks, where their excitement is. I did a word search in volumes written about the Armenian Church. And sadly, the word Jesus does not appear in this descriptor of the Armenian Church. Can you believe that? Yeah. I won't even go where who the author is. But I did a script search, going through all of the scripts, going through everything, for the word Jesus, for the phrase Jesus doesn't appear. And yet, when we look at the early church, when we look at the ones who were making the impact, what did they write? Look at Nerses Shnorali. His most prolific poems, one of them was called Jesus' Son, Jesus Vorti, dedicated to the second person of the Holy Trinity, to Jesus Christ, Jesus' Son. It's an epic poem. Poem, prayer. I mean, it's unbelievable. When you read it, it's just tears come to your eyes. How could this man be writing all this? I'm not talking about a two-page poem. I'm talking about a book. Jesus Vorti, Jesus, Son. Nerses Shnorali. And when you look at the life of Nerses Shnorali, there's no doubt what kind of person he was. A saint of the church. One of the most revered saints of the church. You walk into any Armenian church today, most of the liturgies that you hear were his creation, his writings, not only poet, musician, I mean, just incredible. And the centrality of his life was around Jesus Christ. And there's no mistake. And in this this poem that I'm talking about, this prayer that I'm talking about, Jesus Vorti. Let's see. Kent, you are incredible. Thank you. He just popped it up on my screen. Look at this. Jesus, Son, only begotten of the Father, thy birth inseparate from him who bore thee, thou ineffable offspring of the prototype. Oh! I mean, you know, as much as he wrote this, somebody had to translate this. Where do you find these words from? Just beautiful. By whom all we who live were made, all those that mortal eyes behold. Yeah, think about that. Everything that you see, right? Somewhere along the way, I had heard that everything that we see in this world is because of the sun. Even at night, it's the shadows. Think about it, right? It's about the light bouncing off of objects like the moon, right? If you don't have a moon, it's pretty dark. And so everything that you see is thanks to the sun. And think about what Shnorhali is saying over here. What our eyes see is thanks to God. Anyway, it is beautiful. And I don't mean to go off on that tangent, but sometimes, you know me, I get taken by this. But my point here is that the church has a mission and a focus, and that is Jesus Christ. And sometimes when people get into it, there's not enough room for Christ or Jesus to be in that same room. And so maybe one of the reasons why I shied away, there was nothing, absolutely nothing new that was revealed from this meeting, the ecclesiastical meeting. But there was a lot of, hey, look at the bridge, it's beautiful. And along those same lines, you know, we are living in a world today that is taken by that, hey, look at us, look at all these wonderful things that we're doing. Here in the United States and Britain over the last few weeks, the atrocities that have been happening, the terror that has in the hearts of people. And just yesterday, we woke up to the news that someone had attempted killing of senators who were playing a baseball game. And, well, you know the details. And you say, well, what is going on in this world? And we as a church, why aren't we answering it? Last week I had one of the kids had died, 21-year-old, and the aunt called me up and said, I just want to know one thing. Why did God do this? It's one of those questions that as a priest, it haunts you. Why did God do this? And those of you who know, you know, I've put out this book called The Problem of Evil, especially in the terms of the Armenian Genocide. It's the reason why I got into the priesthood some 35, 36 years ago. And today it's probably the biggest question that is bothersome to me. Because when you look around in the world, at what point do we take responsibility for devising a world, for creating a world where this evil is existing, where this evil is all around us? So I'm not keen on answering those, nor is it my place to answer for God. But I would certainly, if I were to put in my two cents, it's where do we take responsibility for creating this world with so much evil in it? And at what point do we need to start tapering off the ego, putting it in check and getting it out of the way so that we can understand that life and that bridge has a purpose? Right? Well, along those same lines, and all of this will be in today's show notes. Do check it out. I'll make sure that there's links. The president here in the United States called his cabinet to a meeting where they all praised him. It's a very interesting meeting. And it falls right into place exactly with what I said about looking up at the bridge and complimenting the bridge in terms of the church. It's the same model. And the president called his cabinet together. Check it out. It'll be in today's show notes. And in there, there'll be a little recap of what happened in Etchmiadzin. And really, check them out. Put them side by side. Let me stop right there. Play the song of the day, because when I get back, I want to talk to you about, well, a letter that I got about a funeral. Whose funeral? My funeral, huh? Yeah, that's coming up in the second portion of today's show, along with more thoughts. What I'm going to play for you right now is from 1977. I was a seminarian in Etchmiadzin, and there was this beautiful blaka. You know what a blaka is? It's a record. It's a long-playing LP, black. Now, those of our younger generation, and I'm assuming there might be a few that are listening to this, right? Not everybody's an old codger, but records had two sides, not like the familiar CD that has only one side. Records had only one groove. You would put a needle in it, and you would play. And I know, it's all coming back, so even the younger people know what I'm talking about. This was a record that I had purchased in Yerevan, 1977. It is Gomidas being played by a string quartet. And I just want you to listen to this right now, because as I was telling you, I was going through Mom's garage, and we found all kinds of stuff. And I was playing this in the car. I digitized it. So if you're astute, you'll probably hear the small little needle going through it. Anyway, try to ignore it. I want you to really think about this as you're listening to this. Gomidas, Vartabed. Gomidas, priest of the Armenian church. Having witnessed massacres, the large genocide was coming up, but he had seen the massacres, he had seen his people, he knew what was looming. And how do you create something like this in the midst of that? This is the pontifical anthem, and words aren't necessary. Really, the melody will take you to a very special place. Listen to this. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable that this can go on in one man's head, especially after seeing and witnessing and living in the perils and the disasters that were looming all around him. Gomidas Vartabed, Hayrabidagan Machtank. It's a pontifical anthem that he had written. And it is off of an album that I purchased back in 1977. Yes, old world album. It's a long playing record. And you'd put the needle on it. You could probably heard a few of the needle imperfections if you were listening carefully enough. But even more carefully, I hope you were listening to what was going on in the mind of this man, in the midst of all that tragedy, to be able to compose something as perfect, a melody as perfect as this, a song as beautiful as this. What was happening there? And that's really the challenge for us, right? As we're looking at that bridge connecting one side to the other, right? You realize that it has a purpose, whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's your life, there is a purpose. You can look at it, you can get excited about it, but really there is a purpose. You got to get from point A to point B, because before you know it, it's going to be over. So you might as well get to that point. Life and its purpose ending too soon. Wow, so many dimensions. I don't want to bring you down, but I got a letter that brought me down. It really did bring me down. I guess they weren't trying to bring me down, but it did. And I want to share it with you because it lends into what we've been talking about over here. It is from Forest Lawn. Now, Forest Lawn is one of the big conglomerates. It's a huge organization that runs several cemeteries in several states here in the United States. Many states. I believe they are located out of Texas. Doesn't matter. Anyway, here in the Southern California area, and especially among the Armenian Church, it is synonymous with the word cemetery, Forest Lawn. It's just basically like Kleenex is a tissue, like Scotch tape is adhesive tape, Forest Lawn is a cemetery. And so I get this letter from Forest Lawn. It's addressed to Reverend Vasquez Movsesian. So they know I'm a priest, or they know I'm a clergyman, but they feel comfortable and they're just hitting me up. Dear Vasquez, congratulations. You've lived life to the fullest. Now, wait, I should tell you that also in red letters, big red letters across the top, next to their letterhead, in big red letters, it says special $500 offer exclusively for USC alumni. Okay. And then down at the bottom, there's the USC logo. Let's see. Can you make that out? What's that? Okay. Proud partners of USC Alumni Association. Okay, so Forest Lawn has called up my school, or I've received a list from my school and knows who I am. They've done the background check, and now they are writing me. Isn't that cool? Okay. Congratulations, you've lived life to the fullest. You've made a positive impact on the world around you, and in your own unique way, you've made history. So, like, okay. And instead of saying, and you've made history, in your own unique way, yes. That's like, we're covering all bases. In case you're some kind of freak out there, we want to cover the bases. Maybe you're a freak and we don't know what you're saying. So, in your own way, you've made history, okay? Maybe the history of the freak shows, okay? So, up until now, this sounds good, right? Now, next sentence. Now it's time to think of your legacy. A good place to start is at the Forest Lawn. Our Hilltop Private Garden and Premier Sections are the most exclusive and sought-after cemetery properties in all of Southern California. Obviously, they didn't do their research too well because they would know that a Reverend Voskin up at the top isn't really excited about these kind of elite little holes where his remains are going to be. Anyway, now, as an elite member of the USC family, you qualify for $500 in savings on any advance purchase of funeral services or cemetery property valued at $4,000 or more. Okay, so in other words, if you want the cheapie, sorry, but if you want to go $4,000 or more, and there's an asterisk, what does that say? Really, really tiny print. At the bottom it says, where it says 4,000 or more, it says, for restrictions to this offer, please see the reverse side. Oh, man! It's not only tiny print, it's like in that grayish font that you can't read. Okay, so anyway, they're now luring me in. So don't just leave a mark. Leave a landmark. Call their number for a private consultation. Mention USC 500 and let us help you take care of tomorrow today at Forest Lawn. Thank you very much. What a beautiful letter. Now, how excited should you be? You know, you get a letter and $500 off your funeral. Why do I bring this up today? Look at what they are doing for your physical remains. Right? This is a business. It's the business of cemeteries, of funerals. Just like any other business, they're doing it properly. Right? They've done their research. They've developed. I'm impressed. They've gone to databases. They've paid for databases. They've gone to my school. They've seen what I've done. They've seen who I am. They get my name. They make a connection. They put it together. And now they are making a proposal to me on how my body can basically decompose. Yes, under the guise of leaving a legacy. Your legacy's not your body, right? But under that guise, you want to leave a legacy. Well, here's a nice spot where your body can decompose. But they don't say it that way, right? They're just upfront and they're saying that, hey, you want to leave someplace, something that people can look at and say, hey, there he is. There's his body in this nice little area over there. I mean, this is business. Now, that's the business of taking care of this physical existence. How did we start off our show today? I told you about science, religion, about Albert Einstein, bringing it all together. And I said, why are we in competition? Body is body. The spirit is spirit. Why aren't we spending that kind of energy and truly understanding our church in the sense of a business with a plan that has this bridge on it that connects us from point A to point B and saying that here is the plan for us to get from point A to point B. Forest Lawn has done it. And they've done it very well. It's a nice model, right? They did their research. They developed some properties. They put it out there. They're doing their marketing. They've got their lure. They've got their price structure on there. They've even got fine print on there. Now, can you imagine if the church took itself seriously? If we had Christ at the center of our church? If we understood that we are a bridge between ourselves right here and the kingdom of God, that we are a bridge with all of eternity? If we took that mission seriously, what would we be doing? Wouldn't we be out there soliciting people? Wouldn't we be saying, hey, here's an opportunity for you to spend eternity with God. Here is an opportunity for you to buy into something. Yes, to buy into something. And it's not going to cost you cash. You don't even need a credit card. All you need to have is a heart that is willing. That is willing to say, I repent of my sins. I'm willing to put my past behind me. And I'm willing to move forward. Wow. Who said that? Well, Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And established the church that would continue it. Do you see how all this plays in? Do you see why I get so irritated when we lose sight of what the church is? We can talk for millennium about women, the rights of women. You know what? You know how easy it is for a woman to serve in the church? You just do it. It's ridiculous that there's even a discussion about it. It's so ridiculous. Just before we started the show today, Susie and I were talking offline about this whole issue and about these posts that have been going on and everything. And, you know, next week I hope we can talk about it. We'll open up about it next week. But particularly about the head coverings and stuff like that. It's not about being militant. It's not about upheaval. It's not about revolution. It's very simple. It's common sense. Hey, look, you know, here in the United States, 100 years ago from this date, women did not have the right to vote. Yeah, suffrage. It came about, I think, the amendment, what is it, the 19th or 24th, 19th Amendment, was passed 1919. I think I'm thinking the 19th Amendment. It must be the 24th. Anyway, 1919. In 2 years, it'll be the 100th anniversary. It'll be 100 years. So 98 years that women have had the right to vote. That's it. Okay, things have changed. We evolve. It's okay to evolve. It's okay to say that I'm not dead. It's okay to say that I am learning. And this is a process, the process of life. Do you remember last week I played for you a small little clip about the differences between the Orthodox way and the evangelical way? And that whole idea of being born again, it's a process. We are in the process. You know, I wish we could say with all certainty that I am born again and I am saved, but salvation is God's. Give it up. Don't worry about it. God in his mercy, all you need to say is, Lord, have mercy. What you do need to worry about is what he tells you to worry about. Love one another. Become those agents of peace here in this world. Understand that you have to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And everything else falls into place. As Jesus says, this is upon which all the law and the prophets were built upon. And indeed, you read and you study, as much as you study the Old Testament and everything, everything in it is built upon this very simple statement that Jesus Christ makes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And the second most important, love your neighbor as yourself. How simple. Why are we complicating it? Because, you see, everything follows. If you love God, you can't hate. If you love God, you can't kill. If you love God, you have to honor. Right? I mean, it's so simple. But we complicate it. And so getting back to all of the questions, why would we want to go to a place where we're just applauding people and saying, this is a beautiful, beautiful structure, instead of saying that here is an opportunity to connect A to B, to connect our existence, this mundane existence, with something incredible that goes on infinitum, ad infinitum, right? And the price has already been paid for us. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There it is. Take it. Now, Forest Lawn has done an incredible job, a beautiful job. I'm very impressed by this letter. Yeah, it's unnerving. It's not the best letter I've ever received. I wasn't happy to receive it. But it tells me that these people are taking their job seriously. Why? Because they believe in the bodies? That they believe in burying people? No, because their motive is money. And they want to sell you the property and their services. Okay, same system. What is our motive? What should our motive be as the church? It should be the salvation of the souls. And so you do your research, you develop the product, and you have it. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. And in this church, we understand it. It is defined in the apostolic terms, and we refer to it as the Apostolic Holy Church. And now it delivers us a product. And in that church, everyone has a place in it. Not because of rules and regulations, but because it is the natural order of things. How could you have a body that would exclude half of humanity? How could you have half a body? You can't. So therefore, women are in it. Pure and simple. I mean, you know, the entire discussion of women is really, really irritating to me. And I'll try to put a link on the show notes. I wrote quite extensively about it some 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when we had a deaconess. And we worked very hard on this project, getting this to be accepted. And at the end, it failed because the people didn't want it. It's not the clergy. It's not the hierarchs. If the people wanted it, the people could have it. But we are so bent on our ways. A few minutes ago, I was saying about the head coverings. Last week, we were talking about some of the issues that are taking place. And I remember I shared with you last week, I said, you know, as long as we continue to pay for it, you're going to get that same product. And we have that ability to stop. You just stop going. You stop supporting it. You say, this is not working the way it should be working. Now, I know this is very American in its sense, and this is really one of the struggles. I'm going to leave you with this idea today because actually it dawned on me last Sunday. We were in Santa Clarita. What a wonderful, wonderful church that was. Yeah, we celebrated the Divine Liturgy over there. But during the liturgy, as I was contemplating on these beautiful words, these beautiful prayers that we give, you know, one of the problems that we have as an Armenian church is our background, where we come from. Here in America, we understand that you can do anything and you can be anything you want to be. Hard work, sweat on your brow. Hard work will get you what you want. And many preachers have converted this into what's called the prosperity gospel. In other words, God can help you get to those things. And, you know, this is where we have a problem. The Armenian church specifically, Orthodoxy is in a more broader sense, but specifically unique to the Armenian church, as I've shared with you in the past, is this idea of suffering. Because we have never known, the Armenian church has never known Christianity without that suffering. Always under persecution. And so that statement that Jesus makes, if somebody were to follow me, let him pick up his cross and follow me and come after me. That cross is a vital component to the entire equation of who you are as a Christian. And that doesn't sell today, does it? No. And so we're butting heads with a system. One is an economic system, whether it's capitalism, and the other one is a religious system and a spiritual system. And so there are compromises that people make. And this is what I was talking about earlier, some of the difficulties that we have to deal with. And so when we strip it away and move the hoopla out of there, get down to the very basic tenets of what that faith is, you understand that it can work, and it does work. So I'm going to leave you with this for right now. I'm going to come back with a lot of cool stuff that's happening, and I want to make time for that. So let me leave you with that. I hope you know where I'm going. Right now I have this letter. It's still on my desk. I don't know if I'm going for a $4,000 package or if I'm going to just file this in the circular file. But for right now, I needed to share that with you, that there are people who are taking their roles and their businesses seriously. Here's a challenge. Take your role. Take your position. Take your church seriously. Understand that it is the bridge with all of eternity. And you will understand a business plan that is like no other. One that has been created for success. And you're part of that equation. God bless. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you all for listening, for sharing, and being part of this ministry. Can you believe it? Today is the last podcast of the ninth year. We finish up 9 years of podcasting, The Next Step. Every Thursday, somewhere along the way, I think we began on a Wednesday, right midweek. But then it kind of got into our Bible study. So somewhere along the way, I think it was the third or fourth year, we moved it over to a Thursday. And it's been consistent. It's been consistent. Thank God. Through rain, through sleet, through snow, through sufferings, we have put together this podcast, The Next Step with Father Voskin. And we're going to be celebrating the beginning of our 10th year next week. And you're not going to want to miss that. We're going to have Susie. She's, you know, there's a popular show here, and it's not only here in the United States, it's all over the world. It's called, that spinner game. Wheel of Fortune. Spinner. Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune. Yes. And there is a woman on there who moves. She used to move the letters. Now I think she just taps them and they come on. The letters come on. The letter lady, Vanna White. And now she talks. She's got a personality. She talks. But in the early days, she never talked. All she did was just flip the letters. The letter flipper. In fact, I remember at that time reading an article, I think it was in People magazine, that on her income tax, where it says, "What is your occupation?" It was letter turner. That's the occupation. I guess it's unique. One person has that that occupation, letter turner. But she did not speak, and she came out with a book, or they came out with a book about her called Vanna Speaks. And it occurred to me that in all these years, while we hear Susie make the announcements, she does the formal stuff, but how about an interview? Not so much that we haven't heard Susie speak, but who is Susie? Who is Susie behind The Next Step and behind all of our productions? So I'm looking forward to that interview, and she's looking forward to it too. We'll be putting that together next Thursday. In the meantime, I want to draw your attention to today's show notes. I'm going to list a few things that are on there. We are getting a little bit better about the Bible studies. Thank God, with your prayers, we are able to put together the Bible study videos. Those are now on YouTube, so you'll find a link to this week's Bible study. We're starting a session on forgiveness. It's going to be a 4-week session, culminating with the Divine Liturgy on July 10th. But just before that, July 7th, it's a Friday. We're having the decennial event. That means every 10 years. 7/7/17 is the date. And we're going to Catalina Island. It's right off the coast of Los Angeles, off of the Los Angeles port at San Pedro. If you want to do something crazy, please join us. It's a one-day event. Crazy in the sense that you would leave everything and come there. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be nice. It's going to be laid back. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. It is the day of forgiveness because our Lord Jesus Christ said it so plainly. How many times do you forgive? Even someone who has sinned against us 7 times, Jesus said, not only 7 times, but 7 times 77 times. Whoa, that's a lot of forgiving. Well, why not? It's the element of life. It keeps us going. So put that on your calendar, July 7th. We would love to have you with us. There'll be a link on today's show notes. You could just sign up. It's really easy. You can go to the port authorities and get a boat that goes there for $73, round trip from San Pedro. But guess what? You pay $4 more, and you'll be at $77, right? Yeah, and where are you going to give that $4? Well, we'll take it, okay? So make the check to In His Shoes, and we'll give you a round trip. How about that? We're even up front with what we're doing. $4. Not much. We just wanted to round it off to a 7-7 to make it cute. But basically, it's an opportunity to be together, to share some good times together, to talk and meditate on the idea of forgiveness and how important forgiveness is in our life. So the first session on that was last Monday, and you'll find the video on YouTube. There'll be a link on today's show notes. Next one, I told you I'm cleaning out my mom's garage, and we're finding so many cool things. I have an incredible set of videos that were shot back in 1993 and 94. It's made for Sunday school. It's called Few Minutes with Deadhide, and starring yours truly, with a lot darker hair, actually black hair, black beard as well, and much, much more hair, I should say. But I'm really excited about this. We just resurrected those, and we moved them over from VHS to digital format, and we're hoping to have those up pretty soon, and you'll be able to watch those. But we did put one up, and this is it is in Armenian. It's completely in Armenian. It's about 2.5 hours. It's Nahabed Melkonyan, who is responsible for the Jerusalem Armenians. Armenians born in Jerusalem. They call them Sarim, short for the Yerusalem or Shalom, right? Okay, so it's this group that is that originally came from Jerusalem. He's responsible for them, and he wrote this book of reflections. It is called Shame on the Armenian Church, back in 2004. So what is that, 13 years ago? And he asked me to give the introduction to this book. And I was very, very honored at that time. So I found the video to that. It's long. I speak towards the end of it. It's completely in Armenian, but it might interest you. So do check out today's show notes, and we'll have links to all of those as well. With that, I'm going to invite you to be with us next week. We'll have a very special show as we begin our 10th year of podcasting. In the meantime, I want to thank you for these 9 years. It has just been beautiful, and it has been cathartic in many ways, and it's given me an opportunity to share some very personal, raw feelings that I probably wouldn't do otherwise. I don't know any other community where I could feel so comfortable that I can with all of you. Your letters, your words of encouragement, they go a long way. And through the years, we've had so many people who have come, gone. And I know we have a few people that have been on there since day one, especially family members who not only pray but put up with all kinds of ridiculous hours that these podcasts take. I want to thank you all for making this happen. It is really monumental when you think about it, and I'm just very honored to be a part of it. Hey, join us on the mothership inhisshoes.org, on epostle.net, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever you find your podcasts. And please drop us a note whenever you feel like it, okay? Feedback@epostle.net. Okay, for the wonderful crew put today's show together, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, who've been doing it since day one, this is Father Voskin inviting you to listen to this great tune by Vodajan and to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for download at epostle.net, iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, or on your favorite podcatcher. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top, limit.